President, before I support this motion to refer the bill, I had a few things that I wanted to say. There has been a lot of speculation as to why the senator from the 25th and I should be so dogged in terms of saying there are some things that we can compromise on and there are some things that we cannot. And I just thought I'd provide at this opportunity some of the reasons for that. It's my hope, too, that discussions will continue, that we will have an opportunity to bring a truly good bill, a compromise bill, back before the state legislature so that we can all look with pride on the mining that's done in Wisconsin. Mr. President, there seems to be some confusion as to what constitutes a change in existing law. Some have suggested that the Assembly Bill 426 contains no changes to the laws that govern natural resources. Some have even gone so far as to say that the bill strengthens environmental protections. The senator from the 8th, yesterday at JFC, there are no significant changes to any water or air standards. I would raise a few points that counter those suggestions. The new ferrous mining subchapter opens with a list of legislative findings not based on good science. On page 41 of the bill, where the new subchapter that regulates ferrous mining begins, several legislative findings are used to justify the changes to Wisconsin's environmental law. The implication is clear. Ferrous mining is inherently cleaner, is backed up by the claim that acid generation and drainage can't occur at an iron mine. By all accounts, this lacks scientific credibility. And no one can say with certainty that an iron mine on the Pinoki Range wouldn't have these issues. Without proper review of the contents and the makeup of the soil that lies over the ore, that soil, remember, will be removed and stored as waste. We have no way of knowing what is in it. And yet this assumption is used to justify what is essentially a categorical exemption from the existing natural resources protections for an iron mining operation. Legislative number 7 assumes iron mining justifies large-scale wetland filling. The language says, and I quote, "Because of the fixed location of ferrous mineral deposits in the state, it is probable that that mining those deposits will result in adverse impacts to areas of special natural resource interest and to wetlands, and therefore the use of wetlands for bulk sampling and mining activities, including the disposal of storage of mining waste or materials, or the use of other lands for mining activities that would have a significant adverse impacts on the wetland is presumed to be necessary." That's a departure from current metallic mining law, which requires a mining applicant to produce a mining plan that minimizes such impacts. Impact to navigable waters. Our current metallic mining law under 293.13(2)(d)(4) states, "The destruction or filling of a lake bed shall not be authorized, notwithstanding any other provision of the law." But AB 426 295.58(2)(b)(2) provides that destruction or filling of a lake bed may not be authorized unless it is authorized by DNR under the statutes of the proposed new subchapter, whether through actual filling, dredging, or realignment of the state's waters. More than a mere policy issue because of the public trust doctrine, this becomes, as the senator from the 25th pointed out, a constitutional question. The courts have repeatedly upheld the state's waters belong to the people, regardless of whether they are intermittent or minuscule. And it's worth remembering that even these seemingly insignificant waterways have a central hydrological and ecological functions to play in the river system where this mine is to be located. How anyone could say that a piece of legislation that allows for a company to fill a navigable waterway doesn't contain any environmental law changes is beyond me. Especially when no one has explained exactly why a mining permit applicant would require a provision of this sort. Unsuitable areas for mining. The Baraboo Range question in the heart of the 17th Senate District. Current mining laws identify state natural areas as locations that are unsuitable for mining. State natural areas are protected under state law because they are the most rare and unique types of natural lands remaining in our state. But AB 426 totally removes the designation of these important natural areas as locations unsuitable for mining. Now, I want you to note, there are none of these natural areas around the Pinoki Range. So what is this? So why is this language necessary for the Baraboo Range? Remember, we're writing a law not just for mining at one particular site in Ashland and Iron County. We're writing a law for the entire state. Public benefits versus water withdrawal permits. If the department finds that the applicant cannot meet all applicable requirements, the department shall nevertheless issue water withdrawal permit if the department determines that the public benefits resulting from the mining operation exceed any injury to public rights and interest in a body of water that is affected by the mining operation. In making this determination, the department shall recognize that the water withdrawal use of the waters of the state in connection with mining is in the public's interest, welfare, and fulfills a public service or purpose. This is a perfect example of something that requires more public and a more robust round of discussion. No one at the mining company or in the assembly is standing up to defend passages in AB 426 that essentially elevate iron mining over other potential uses to the level of highest and best use. Not only of the land on which the iron ore lies, but also on the state's waters that surround it. This bill is full of subjective, squishy language on public health, safety, and welfare. Under criteria for approval, item number 4, that the proposed mine is not likely to result in substantial adverse impacts to public health, safety, or welfare. The bill is full of language like this. Proponents will tell you this doesn't change environmental law. They'll just say they codified existing DNR rules, but they don't mention that they cherry-picked language from the rules and softened it up with such words as reasonably certain, substantial versus significant, not likely to result, more probable than not. Members, the senator from the 25th and I have labored long and hard. We've reached out to every single member in this body, regardless of political affiliation. We've even reached out to the assembly. Doesn't happen very often. We've listened to mining executives, we've listened to environmentalists, and the Bad River Tribe. Anyone who wanted to have a say was welcomed in our office for discussion. At no time did I hear anyone suggest we needed these changes. I'm not even saying that they can't occur, but if they're going to occur in this state, it seems to me we ought to convene a process like we did when the mining law was first written, where sitting around a large table are executives from a mining company and their lawyers, environmental advocates and their lawyers, Department of Natural Resources staff, and they should be charged with a responsibility to come up with a consensual product like they were the last time around when people said it couldn't be done. If we utilize that past wise practice, I believe we can move the bar. Now, I can't tell you that the Gogebic Mining Company is going to necessarily choose to mine here depending upon what comes. And I will be saddened because I would like the door to be open for every mining company here. But the people of this state have said over and over again, loudly and clearly, are not against mining. That they want it done, however, in an intelligent, environmentally safe, and sustainable way. We heard it in Mellon, we heard it in Platteville. You do any poll of Wisconsin citizens, and you will find that is clearly the thinking of the people of this state. Today is not the day for this compromise. We just proved that by rejecting it. But my door remains open to coming up with a compromise as long as it doesn't contain an onerous contested case provision and these environmental changes without a thorough, robust, and transparent discussion that I think all of us need to listen to and to be respectful of. We can move forward by moving the bar and send a signal to the mining industry that we are serious by passing on what we agree with. There are many things that we agree with. And I appreciate the senator from the 12th and Representative Voss for their goodwill and willingness to enter into discussion. Did I say the eighth, pardon me. I appreciate their goodwill. And we have made some progress on a number of things, and we have advanced mutual understanding, and I think that's the way the legislative process should work. But we have a ways to go, ladies and gentlemen, and we cannot deviate from what has been tried, true, and tested in this state without substantial discussion by people we should be hearing from. When we were in Platteville the other day, home of the state's reclamation program for mining, three faculty members came and said, for heaven's sakes, listen to the scientific experts. We haven't done that, ladies and gentlemen. We need to do that. That doesn't mean there can't be any changes. But everyone in Wisconsin ought to know what's going on and why we're making the changes, and then we can all take a vote. I would love to vote for a responsible mining bill. I come from a part of the state that has historically hosted more mining operations than any other part of the state. And we've seen the good times, and we've seen the bad times. And when I was elected senator, I remember very clearly seeing creeks that ran red. And I'm proud to have worked with local citizens, as well as the Department of Natural Resources, at great state expense, I should say, to help clean up that mess. We can do this smarter. And I stand ready and willing to work with anyone who wants to do that. But the provision that was put before us today from the Joint Finance Committee is not the answer. Just a few thoughts. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 15th.
Well, Mr. President, members of the Senate,